It's time for the Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with entrepreneurs and thought leaders in staffing and recruiting.
How do you guys differentiate yourselves from your competitors? Is ACA a threat or an opportunity for the staffing industry? How can the staffing industry improve the candidate experience? What will be keeping you up at night over the next 2 years?
And here's your host, Todd Lewandowski.
Welcome to Secrets of Staffing Success. Got a great episode lined up for you today. Going to be talking all about startups. And there's probably a lot of people out there who are well past the startup phase of their staffing careers. But I think there's a lot of the same issues that apply to whether you've been in business for, 3 months or 30 years. So we're going to talk to Chase Dawson in just a little bit about that. Before we get to Chase, want to just remind you of all the places you can find us. First of all, if you want to follow us on Twitter, @staffingpodcast, follow us there. You can always follow me on LinkedIn. Just search for Todd Lewandowski, 2 D's. It's LEWANDOWSKI. And as well, you can find HaleyMarketing.com. That has all information about our company and all of our links to past episodes of this very show. You can also subscribe on iTunes, on Google Play, on Spotify, on Stitcher. And if you have an Apple device, just use the podcast app and search for Secrets of Staffing Success. Our guest this week on Secrets of Staffing Success is the president and CEO of JCD Staffing. He's Chase Dawson. Chase, thanks so much for joining us this week.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be here.
Well, for new listeners to our show, what we like to do is have our guests give us their 60-second elevator pitch on their business. So, Chase, tell us all about JCD Staffing in 60 seconds or less.
Okay, sure. So we're in our third year now. Obviously, a small company here in the D.C. area. We focus most of our efforts in this area just because of the nature of what we do, which is IT staffing. And we do both commercial and federal type clients. But again, being in this area, a lot of it is geared towards government work. And we really try, as the website kind of says, we try to keep communication at a priority with both our candidates and our clients. I just feel like that is sometimes lost in staffing. So we make it a priority to keep candidates in the loop as well as clients as much as possible. And to do that, we've kind of kept our client base, fluctuating, but kind of keep it in a place where we can give, each requirement the due it needs and it deserves. So that's what we've been doing for third year now, and it seems to have been working so far.
And now for what's become quickly my favorite question to ask people, just because the answers range so much. How did you get into the staffing industry yourself?
Yeah, they do range. And I do, that's one thing, cool thing about staffing is kind of the background, because very rarely do you find someone who's like, I want to go to college. I want to get into staffing.
Right.
You don't see that very often. So a lot of people fall into it. So I was kind of the same way. I was actually a tennis pro out of college at Bethesda Country Club, and I was on my feet 8 hours a day. I was like, I can't do this until I'm 65. So I had a buddy who was a recruiter for Aerotech, and I said, you're an athlete. Could this be a fit? So long story short, he, pulled a few strings, called some people at Aerotech. I got an interview with them, and I applied to another staffing agency, a couple other ones, and didn't end up going with Aerotech, but anyway, got into admin staffing, which was a foot in the door, but I would not do it again. I did not like the admin staffing, but so then I was off and running, and then actually made a sales call for admin staffing, and the CEO was like, well, would you ever want to get into IT staffing? And that's how I made the leap over to IT staffing, and then that's what I've been doing ever since.
All right, so from tennis pro to staffing owner, that is definitely the most unique path that any of our guests have taken.
Right, that's true. But it is good. I mean, I think, in staffing, it's good to kind of have that competitive mentality, and I think that's why it kind of lends itself to, if you kind of have an athletic background, I think it really does help.
Absolutely. You know, most of the guests on our show have owned or managed staffing recruiting firms that have been around for several decades, but what made me want to have you on the show is that you've only been in business for a few years now, and I think there are obviously some unique challenges that our audience can identify with, whether they've been in the staffing business for many years or decades or are still in that startup phase. So I guess let's start there. You know, do you still feel like a startup? And if not, when was that moment when you felt like, okay, we're no longer in our infancy now. We're here to stay.
Right. You know, I'd say, yeah, I like to feel like a startup. I think it's important too, because, you know, what I think is a killer in staffing is complacency. And, you know, you get a few people billing, you're like, okay, this is great. And, you know, you're just like, well, I don't have to do anything today, you know, and that's, you know, the pros and cons of kind of owning the business. You can kind of, set your own schedule, but then again, you can set your own schedule, you know, so you can, you know, you're not forced to get up and go. So yeah, I mean, I think it's good to be always on your toes, always trying to push forward. So I think it's important to have a startup mentality, because, you know, as a startup, you don't know if you're going to make it or not. And that kind of provides a lot of motivation to, you know, to get up and go every day. Now with that being said, you know, in our third year here, I mean, we do have, you know, a nice stable base. We have some great clients and, you know, kind of getting the name out there. So, on one hand, I kind of force myself to feel like a startup. But you know, we're doing well, and I think we can kind of continue on this track. You know, maybe one day I'll not feel like a startup, but for now, yeah, why not? Why not? Just, it's been working, and I think it just gives you that get up and go.
Were there those moments early on when you felt like, uh-oh, you know, what have we done here? This isn't going to work out.
Yeah, you know, again, I kind of, you know, it's kind of good to have those moments, I think. And, you know, in my experience, you know, when I was working with, SNI or About Web, where I used to work, you know, that's kind of part of the staffing industry, I think. A lot of times it is a very, you can't predict this business. You're working with people on both the client and the candidate side. So there are going to be times when, you know, for example, earlier this year, I was working with a great client of ours. We've been working with them for a couple of years, and we had two back-to-back candidates accept offers and then just not show up on the day that we were supposed to start. Yeah. No, I really don't think it was any fault of ours. It's just, you're dealing with humans. We were in touch with them up to the day before they were supposed to start. And so those are times. And then subsequently, you know, we had some rocky roads with that client, and it was a big client. So those are moments when you're like, you know, wow. Yeah. Uh-oh. This is a big client. This is going to hurt. But in staffing, I think if you know, it's largely a numbers game. You know, believe it or not, if you know, there's obviously nuances to it, but if you kind of stick to the model that's been tried and true, it works. And it's been working for us. So I see, you know, there have been uh-oh moments, but I think, you know, that's just going to happen. It's just part of staffing. You cannot get around it. And if you kind of know that that's going to happen, you kind of plan for it. You know, you can kind of say, okay, there are going to be some times when it's going to get rocky, but if you keep pushing and you keep following the kind of the model that's been working for staffing agencies for years, then you're going to push through it. So I think we've done that, but sure, there's been uh-oh moments.
What got you through those tough times in those first, you know, early months and years? You know, was there a mentor that you had, or was there somebody that you looked to, or just some internal inspiration that got you through those times?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, yeah, there have been people along the way that have helped tremendously. They've kind of done the same route. They were, you know, in an agency, and then they were doing it for years, and they said, wow, I could probably do this on my own. They started their own company, they grew it, and they sold it, and I've been able to lean on them and just kind of say, you know, wow, this is this is getting rough here, man. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what do you do? But also, you know, I was in staffing for years before I decided to take the leap and start my own company. And like I said, there's rocky roads in staffing. You know, you kind of get used to it. It seems like a very cyclical business. There might be a day you wake up and be like, wow, I don't really have any great jobs that I'm excited to work on. And then in the afternoon, you get three clients say, Chase, these are immediate needs, you know, and it can switch like that.
Right.
You know, so I think it's just, you got to keep a kind of a macro look at the whole thing and not focus on those small uh-ohs that are bound to happen. So if you just keep, keep making the calls, keep sending out the emails, keep chatting with your candidates. I found that if you just, you kind of keep pushing ahead, it's gonna turn around and it has. So, you just gotta keep to that model and it seems to work.
One of the biggest challenges I think for startups is just getting their name out there and getting introduced into the marketplace. And how difficult was that to introduce yourself to your market, and how did you get over that obstacle and start to build that brand equity and that name equity?
Yeah, I mean, that is, I think that is the biggest challenge starting out. I did have some clients who actually followed, you know, did want to work with me, that I had kind of built up over the years. So that was a helpful kind of head start. I did not anticipate that happening, but it did. So that was very helpful. Kind of got my foot off the ground, but it wasn't enough. And you need to do more than just have a few. You have to have a good solid client base. So, my background actually in staffing was more on the sales side, which starting the business, was, you know, very valuable. I just think, you got the sales side and the recruiting side. I just think when you're starting, obviously you need to start with the sales. You need to have clients to work on requirements. So, it was a matter of, finding a niche. I think being a small business, was helpful in this area. Most of our clients, in fact, pretty much all of our clients are small to mid-sized businesses themselves. So you can kind of commiserate and kind of build a built-in camaraderie there with your clients because, they have probably some of the same struggles as we do, being, in the small to mid-sized. And I think, in today's kind of business climate, people are wanting to work with smaller businesses. I just feel like, they kind of feel like they're getting that, kind of one-on-one type feel with people. And especially in staffing, obviously they're the big boys out there and they have a lot of, the market share, but, it just feels like some clients, and this is just anecdotally from my perspective, kind of were getting a little tired of the big business and just kind of feeling like a number or a cog in the wheel. So we kind of push that aspect right off the bat. We're a small business. We'll respond to you all the time. We will, always be there. We can be flexible. And it worked. A lot of those people wanted to have that type of experience. And that's kind of what we pushed and what we've been pushing. And then we have to, of course, follow up on it. So once you're given that opportunity, that's the gold right there. You get the one requirement. They say, do what you can with it. And if you produce, on that initial opportunity, you're going to have a client, you're going to have a repeat client. And that's just kind of what it is. Get that opportunity and then try to shine with it. So that's kind of how we got out there. And that's how I think we've built a good solid client base nowadays.
Yeah, you led me right into my next question, and you kind of answered that. I was going to ask, are there advantages to being a smaller firm? And I think you covered that, but I'm curious, how do you use that in your own marketing or in your own sales? Is that something that you really promote, that we are a small company, or do you have to kind of tailor that message depending on your audience and depending on the prospect that you're talking to?
Yeah. So 100%, we use that as a quote unquote selling point. And of course, like what I said, you know, we're targeting, we target a specific, you know, type of business. Like I said, the small to mid-sized businesses, it's hard, when you get into those larger businesses, they kind of want to work with established and more robust firms, which is fine. I mean, there's plenty of companies to go around in this area. So yeah, I mean, the advantages, I think, like I said, are that we can deliver a more personable experience. One thing that the clients like that we're able to do is, kind of be flexible with our terms and our fees and things like that. You know, a lot of these small to mid-sized like us, you know, want to have financial flexibility and things like that. And the way we're set up, we're able to provide that. So I think, and then conversely, if you're a large staffing company trying to get into these smaller and mid-sized clients, you know, they're a little bit more rigid with their terms. And we found that these clients like to be flexible, and we're able to do that. And that's kind of the differentiator, you know. That's, you know, that's what they say in sales. You need a differentiator. So, sure. That's kind of what we'll be able to provide. And they seem to like that. So that's kind of the advantage to being the smaller firm, being able to be flexible and nimble. And yeah, so that I certainly use that as a selling point.
On your website, which is really great, by the way, I want people to know we did not build your website, so I'm not just saying that to tout our services. But you mentioned on the site that as part of your service, you like to get creative and think beyond just the traditional staffing model. What are some of the ways you guys have done that for your clients?
Yeah, and as far as the website, that's another good story. That was a buddy of mine who also started his own kind of media company. So that's another small business that we kind of work together. So I love the website, and they came up with a great logo as well. So, okay. The question was, how to get creative. Yeah. So, again, being this small business, that's the key here. Some of the things that the large companies have are the rate cards, the fixed fees. We really, with each client, they have different needs. You know, some may, you know, want to do a contract to hire over, you know, 3 months and then pay some sort of conversion fee, or maybe they'll want to do 6 months no conversion fee, or they want to do direct hire, but they want to pay their fee over a 3 month period. You know, we can tailor each client, whether they want to do any of those things, and we can kind of work with them to do that. And you know, that's kind of another differentiator, getting creative or thinking outside the box of the traditional staffing model, is being able to, you know, look at these clients and say, okay, you guys need X here, this here, and we're able to kind of you know, tailor each agreement to that. So you know, when it comes down to it, staffing is pretty much staffing. But if you can have these little nuances, I think you know, it kind of is a helpful little differentiator.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we look at so many different staffing firms every day and look at their current websites and their current copy and the current marketing, and it's so difficult sometimes to find something in there that we can pull out as a differentiator. And I think that flexibility that you guys have, because I think a lot of people say the word flexibility, you know, we'll work with you, but to really be able to prove it and to really be able to say, this is why we're flexible, I think that really helps you guys stand out absolutely in that marketplace.
Yeah. And also, you know, there are a ton of staffing companies. I mean, even we, as a staffing company, get bombarded with emails and calls. And frankly, a lot of them are like they're not good. They're just fishing, and they're fishing is what they're doing.
Right.
So when you're able to kind of be, you know, be different than those emails you get every day. I'm sure you guys get them too. Everybody does. if you're able to say, you know, get a client and be like, okay, you know, maybe we'll give, you know, this company that shot. And that's, you know, I kind of keep coming back to that,
yeah.
that opportunity when you get that reply or anything is just that's the gold. And that's when you need to really jump on it. So, yeah, I think that like, you hit it on the head there, mm-hmm. that being creative and actually following through with it is huge.
What do you know now that you wish you knew back when you first started JCD 3 years ago?
Oh boy, that's a good question. That is a good question. Well, there's a lot. I think just kind of from a overall business perspective, I was a little naive in being, okay, I'm just gonna be doing what I was doing before. I'm gonna be doing staffing every day, and no, I'm not. Hmm. You know, I had to be an accountant. I had to do HR. I had to do all kinds of stuff, sales, recruiting. So. And of course, that takes those administrative type things take away from sales or recruiting. So the time aspect that is that you need to dedicate to other parts of the business to kind of keep the wheels rolling is something that I probably should have thought about a little bit more. But but you know, nonetheless, I mean, you're gonna get surprises, I'm sure, when you start a business like that. Mm. So I guess, yeah, from a business perspective, it wasn't just staffing, you know, it was just a whole bunch more. Now it's kind of leveled out now, but you know, those first 6 months to a year, it was pretty overwhelming with, you know, with all the other stuff. And then I had to do the staffing and the recruiting as well, or the sales and the recruiting as well. So yeah, I'd say, you know, it was, I'm so glad that I did it.
Hmm.
And I would encourage people who kind of thought about it. I think a lot of people do. If you're even somewhat successful in staffing at an agency, you know, but there's a lot more to it than just sitting and making your calls. You know, you gotta plan for a lot more, but no regrets. I mean, it's been a great ride. So, just time consuming, you know, that's it. But the time that is needed to really keep it up and running.
No regrets, but is there anything you would have done differently in those first couple months?
You know, actually I kind of, touched on it earlier, maybe that was just with you, but, you know, we're trying to make a bigger push into the social media type exposure. That was something that I didn't really make a priority out of the gates. You know, I set up some Twitter and a Facebook and I didn't really keep it up. But I do, you know, I see the value in it, now, you know, as far as keeping it up to date. So that is something that, I would do differently starting up. And even now, we're trying to kind of beef that up a little bit more. So, you know, it's a huge part, especially on the candidate side. Now people are using the social media a lot more than the phone now that the phone is barely a phone anymore. You know, it's connected with people on Twitter, on Facebook and, you know, beyond. So, I would say connecting with candidates creatively is going to be the new challenge in staffing, because no one picks the phone anymore. It's just, I mean, I know there's some old school people who are about the phone, but it's increasingly, you have to get increasingly creative to get in touch with these tech candidates. Now I'm speaking from an IT perspective,
sure,
here,
sure.
Cause that's what we do, but it's tough. So I think, you know, if you get that exposure on social media, I think it can really be helpful. Just kind of giving some clout to your business and, you know, kind of showing the candidates, you know, who you are and what you're about.
At 3 years in now, do you have a defined growth plan in place to scale JCD going down the road?
We do. We kind of, I like where we are now. It's the model. So we really try to keep our overhead very, very low. So I think a lot of businesses, especially in the DC area, are kind of trending towards remote options. And frankly, I think staffing agencies are a little behind in that. Mm. You know, you have the cubicle farms and things like that. Well, which is fine, but for a small business like us, that's a lot of overhead. And I think staffing can be done remotely. So yeah, so we've got some kind of creative plans here to scale. Now, like I said, right now we're kind of, you know, I'm kind of happy where everything is. Everything seems to be good, but there are plans over the next year or two to kind of beef things up a little bit. And kind of the theme is we've kind of trying to be a little creative and different as to how we do that. So yeah, while things are going well, there's certainly, you know, some things on the horizon that we'd like to kind of put into place.
All right, before we let you go, you're going to be our first guest to take part in our new segment, our rapid fire question segment. Five quick questions for you. Don't put too much thought into them, and just first thing that comes to mind. If you weren't in staffing, what would you be doing? And you can't say being a tennis pro.
If I wasn't in staffing, what would I be doing? You know, I'd probably still be on that tennis court.
All right.
Honestly, you know, I'd probably still be out there. I love tennis, and it was a fun time. But yeah, that's probably where I'd be. It's somewhere in the tennis world.
The book, blog, podcast, speaker that you look to for inspiration on a regular basis?
Book, blog. You know, I'm not a big blog guy, but you know, I don't know. I might have to take a pass on that one.
Okay. You can say this show for if you'd like. You can say this podcast.
Yeah, that's
there we go. Secrets of Staffing Success. Good answer. Good answer, Chase. Proudest moment of your career?
Oh, well, I'd say it's kind of cliche, but, without a doubt, when, took the leap, opened the business, got the LLC all set up, sat down and got my first placement as a business owner. And then when that check came in, I was like, wow, this is real. And then it was kind of like, it was like, wow, you can actually do this. So, you know, that was so far that was definitely it. There have been some along the way, and hopefully there's more to come, but that was it.
And unfortunately that check was probably already spent anyway. So
yeah, that's right. That's true.
You said you don't have any regrets with starting the company, but what's your biggest career regret overall? Do you have any?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say being more open to listening to people who have done this for a long time. I think it's good and bad that you have this mentality, oh, I can do everything myself, I know what I'm doing. I think it's good in some respects. It kind of makes you, it gets you motivated. But sometimes I think that kind of puts some blinders on, and that I may have missed some ideas along the way that I may have dismissed too rapidly. So I'd say to kind of keep an open mind and to listen to the people who have been in this industry and even not people who may not have been in this industry, you know, but to kind of keep an open mind and not think too much, I can do this all on my own. Yeah. I'd say that's one.
Hmm. And finally, finish this sentence. In 5 years, the staffing industry will?
In 5 years, the staffing industry will be radically different.
Mm. How so?
Well, I think we're trending in a very tech-heavy environment. So, you know, you got to think... there will be companies popping up where they'll try to automate everything. The personal touch will try to be lost, and it's going to be difficult to keep up with it. So companies like mine and even the big companies, they're going to have to adapt and kind of touched on it earlier. The old model is not, you know, where it's hit the phone, smile and dial. And that's going to be pretty much gone, I think. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure some people will disagree with me, but it's going to be texting. It's going to be social media type things. And it's that word creative. You're going to have to be creative or you're just going to be, dead. So I think that's, you know, it's trending in that direction. I just think it'll be completely different. So trying to stay ahead of that is going to be the challenge.
Could not agree more. He is Chase Dawson, the president and CEO of JCD Staffing. Chase, thank you so much for joining us on Secrets of Staffing Success and sharing some of your experiences as you go through this startup phase, and continued success to you and everybody at JCD.
Thank you very much, Todd. That was a great time. Appreciate it.
If you would like to find out more about JCD Staffing, just go to jcdstaffing.com. I loved what he said about he always still thinks of himself as a startup. And I wonder how many people in the staffing industry have that mentality. I think that's a really great way to look at yourself. And what I think it does is it always kind of feeds that hunger in you. You know, if you've been in business for 30 years, you might, you know, occasionally sit back and say, okay, we've been in business for 30 years. Everybody knows us. Don't assume that. You know, Haley Marketing's been around for 22 years now, and we tend to think, oh, you know, because we go to Staffing World and we go to all these conferences, that, oh, everybody knows about us. And that's just not true. And the same goes for your staffing firm. So when you're out there talking to people, when you're presenting your company, think like a startup, that not everybody's going to know you. You need to introduce yourself. You need to position yourself. You need to let people know why they should be buying from you, why they should be using your candidates. You know, what can we do today to introduce our staffing firm to as many people as possible in our marketplace? So really good stuff there from Chase. I'm glad we had the chance to talk about, you know, the challenges and how to overcome them of being a startup, because I think that's a really important segment of staffing, of the staffing industry. My thanks to Chase Dawson from JCD Staffing. Again, it's jcdstaffing.com. You can check us out, haleymarketing.com, and there you can also find all of our past episodes of Secrets of Staffing Success. And of course, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher, on Spotify. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Staffing Podcast. That'll do it for us. We will talk to you next time on Secrets of Staffing Success.